Hello and welcome to the Growth Coaching International Case Study Podcast Series. I'm Lee Hatcher with some great stories of the difference that GCI is making in all sorts of schools and school systems. I'm in conversation with Kate Grayson, Deputy Principal of Churchland Senior High School in Western Australia. She's had a wealth of experience in the Growth Coaching International model in a range of educational contexts. As you'll hear in our Skype conversation, she's a real believer.
My first experience with growth coaching was as a head of arts at Canning Vale College. I started there after they had an executive review group go through, and that had established that there were some issues with staff and results and such. And the principal really saw it as a really important way of capacity building his middle management team. He really saw it as a way that we could work with particularly some of our younger and more experienced staff, but even our more established staff, to really try and affect the change that needed to happen that was established out of that.
So people were quite accepting of the idea?
Yeah, look, it did take a while, and I think with coaching it does. It was important that we were trained in the process, but were also coached ourselves. And I think that was a real key to the success. And it was a slow rollout. We did a lot of work with our staff to prepare them so that they understood what a coaching conversation was. For us at Canning Vale College, it was really about the way the HOLA interacted with the staff member. And it was about moving from the HOLA being the repertoire of all knowledge and the HOLA fixing everyone's problems.
Yes.
Moving to a way where teachers were empowered to solve problems for themselves. And so a whole lot of work had to be done with the staff, because the staff aren't going to accept a fundamental change like that without a whole lot of time and work being done with them. And so in my capacity, I worked really, really closely with my staff. And I'd even say to them, okay, I'm going to have a coaching conversation with you now. So they're really clear about the type of conversation we're about to enter
yes.
in on. And it got to the point where I didn't have to say that, and at the end of the conversation they would go, I've just been coached, haven't I? Okay, yeah, you have. And so it became a little bit of a joke.
Yeah.
But I had to really, really work with my staff, because it was a really, really big change in the role of the HOLA, going from problem solver to actually capacity builder.
Yeah, it's very significant. So fast forward to today, give us a sketch of Churchland's senior high school.
Okay, where you are so now. I am now in my second year of being at Churchland Senior High School. Churchland Senior High School is one of the biggest single campus high schools in Australia, and certainly the biggest in WA by far. We have 2,600 students, and we're expected to grow to about 3,200 over the next few years. We've got over 200 teaching staff alone. My role is Deputy Principal Human Resources, so my portfolio is solely looking after the staff, working with aspirant development, women in leadership, mentoring graduate teachers, mentoring re-entry teachers. But one of my big portfolio areas is teacher performance development, and that's an area that I've been doing a lot of work in as well, particularly around initiating reflective conversations for staff through their performance development meetings. We've got a high number of graduates here because we have a really experienced staff body. Probably in 3 years we've brought on in excess of 50 graduate teachers, and so we've had really good strong mentoring programs to work with those teachers. But once they're in their first or second year, then you can actually start coaching them as well.
You can hear the passion in you for this. What fires you up for this kind of coaching, Kate?
I think for me, it's about capacity building. And I was really lucky that very early in my leadership career that I had some really fantastic people who coached me. And so having been through that process as an early career leader, it's really inspired me to now sort of, I guess, pay it forward in a respect, and to be heavily involved in the leadership development of other aspiring leaders now.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have had people that put all that time and effort into me early on, I wouldn't be in the position I was. I had these phenomenal people around me. When I was at Lakeland Senior High School, I had Kaya Graves and I had a few other really influential people who worked with me and helped develop me. And if I hadn't had that, I wouldn't be where I was. So now I feel the need to really to help develop other people now as well. And I'm really lucky I'm in a position where I can do that.
How inspiring. Let's get practical. How did you set up the coaching plan? How was it initiated?
Yeah, we're doing it in several different ways. We've really turned around the way we do our senior staff meetings. So instead of our senior staff meetings being meet this deadline and do this and don't forget this, we actually capacity build our middle management. And so we've had growth coaching come out and do some little taster sessions around difficult conversations, coaching conversations. I've done some work around performance development conversations. We are slowly getting our heads of learning area through the full four-day growth coaching program. But I've also done a lot of work with my workforce committee around the whole way we're looking at performance development. So we don't want performance management meetings anymore. It's not a one-off meeting. It's an ongoing process, which is based on reflective questioning. And that's what's really key to our whole process around working with our staff. It's celebrate the success. Okay, where's the need area? You know, where have you, you know, faced these problems before? And drawing on people's strengths and working that way with people. It's not a critique. It's not a 1 hour, tell me all the things you've done wrong. It's incidental. It's ongoing. It's a cycle and it's reflective.
You're listening to the Growth Coaching International Case Study Podcast Series. I'm with Kate Grayson, Deputy Principal of Churchland Senior High School in Western Australia. Now, all this sounds great, of course, but here's a critical question. How have staff leaders responded to this entirely different approach?
With Churchland, it has been a really different way at looking at performance development from that sort of one-off meeting to it being a really ongoing process. But the way we went about setting it all up was people had lots of opportunity to go and do training, to look at the draft documents and some of the draft conversation models that we were giving them. So there's lots and lots of opportunity for feedback. It was a slow and gradual process over the entirety of last year. Last year was a development and trialing year, and this year is an implementation year. So because people were provided with the opportunity for input, the opportunity to ask questions, the opportunity for training, I think when you put that amount of time and energy into a change management process, it's always going to be far more successful if you've given people the opportunity to respond and reflect and to think about and process and to trial, to then provide more feedback and to get training. You can't implement any change in any organisation unless you're going to really train people and, yes, and follow a really good process. So yeah, I think that was the key to our success for our new performance development process, was that it was a slow and gradual process provided with training and time and all of those sort of things.
Here's a challenging question though. How are you going to sustain it, do you think?
So we have to continue the conversation. So yes, what I have been working on is putting together the schedule for all of our senior staff meetings. And so every few weeks, we're going to keep going back to coaching and keep going back to performance development. So we're going to keep that conversation going so that every 4 to 5 weeks, we're going back. We're not forgetting about it. We're always talking about it. So that's one of our methods of sustaining it. You know, we're continuing with our aspirant development program as well. So we're into our second cohort of that. We're putting significant resources into our people and into training our people. I mean, we have, in 3 years, we've lost one permanent teacher to a like position. We don't lose our people. Our people stay with us.
So how significant.
We're very confident in putting huge financial investment into our people because they stay and they get great results.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would advise people about this approach, even caution them about this model of coaching, Kate?
I think you've got to be really, really clear with your staff. They have to know what the conversation is not only going to look like, but the why. Staff need to understand that why, because if they don't get that this is about developing them, and I mean, one of the big things is when people come to you with a problem is that often they've already got the answer. They already think they have the answer. They're just not confident that it's the right one. So if you build your staff and you talk to them in a way that is respectful, but is also saying to them, actually, you're a really capable human being. You're a really experienced teacher. You've done this all before. You do know how to do this. And if you turn that conversation around so that they're empowered and they're going, well, here's the problem, actually, here's what I think the solution is, and just using you as a sounding board, you've got a really empowered workforce there instead of people that are just always asking, am I doing this right, am I doing this right? If you go back and go, yeah, like, you guys are doing this right, you are capable.
Yes, yes.
You know, but you've got to do that groundwork first with staff, because it can be a big shock to come with a problem and to then be coached if you're not expecting it.
In practical terms, what would be your recommendations about how to put this to work, how to set it up in a way?
You've kind of got to start talking to people and just casually let those sort of, I think those hallway conversations are so important, and spreading the word almost through word of mouth, and then training up key people. So looking at not only who are your heads of learning area, but who are the teachers that people listen to, your level three classroom teachers or your up-and-coming aspirants? Who are the people that other staff go to? Who are your kind of go-to people, getting them trained up, getting them on site? I think those sort of things are really powerful ways of initiating a change.
Okay. In this series, I love hearing stories of how this is impacting people. Students and teachers. Can you give us a couple of perhaps scenarios or examples of how this has played out, both in the life of a teacher and in the life of a student?
When I was back at Canning Vale College as a head of learning area, as a head of arts, I had some really young and experienced teachers. I want to talk about one of them, Sarah, who had come from being in a really difficult school very early in her career, and this was her first full-time job. And so she had lots and lots of questions, and it got to the point where I'd say to her, okay, you've got an hour on Thursdays to come with your questions. And we really slowly started off just me answering them, and I slowly turned around and started coaching her and really working very closely with her to develop her confidence, to develop her problem solving, because she already had what she thought were, again, were the solutions, she just wasn't sure. And so working really closely with her, she went off and she decided that one of her big goals, we did a lot of work around her goals, was to become a level three classroom teacher within the first little 4 or 5 years of her career. And she went off and did that. She went off, one of her other big goals was to finish her master's. And so we worked around managing her workload and her stress. And she went off and finished her master's. And she's just won the substantive visual art teaching role at Perth Modern, which is our gifted and talented school here in Perth. Oh. So really, really prestigious role. And for me, seeing Sarah move from an early career teacher to getting her master's, getting her level three classroom teacher, and now winning a really, really prestigious role, for me, she's a really huge, huge success story. She's gone off and presented at international conferences and done all kinds of amazing things. And for me, she's an incredible success story. For someone that, has made a huge transition and is now, in effect, a leader herself. So that's probably one really big, what I see, success story as far as early career teachers goes. I think one of the things, I come from an arts teaching background, and we are constantly coaching our students. And to be a really effective teacher, I think those questioning skills that you learn through growth coaching can be applied in the classroom. So if it's goal setting, it's making them really, really accountable for timelines and how are you going to achieve this? Not how am I going to do it? How are you going to change things? What's it going to take? So I come from a background originally as a Year 11, Year 12 deputy, and so I did lots and lots of work with Year 11s and Year 12s around study skills and about goal setting and subject selection and career planning and all those sort of things. And I think these kind of conversation models can be really, really effective, particularly with those senior school students, but also in the classroom. You know, getting the students to say, okay, I can tell you what I think of it, but what do you think of
it? Yes, yes.
Where are you at with this?
So with the prospect of 3,000 students at your school, what's your future look like there and the future of coaching in that context, Kate?
Yeah, look, I think it's only going to expand. We've really opened up our aspirant leadership program now so that it's not just about teachers but also school support staff. So what we're doing now is we've opened it up so that our PR and marketing staff can attend, our IT tech can attend, and we're now working with them and getting them some coaching training. So our aspirant program is a 20-week program we start off with speed dating and leadership stories, and then we do some work around difficult conversations about where coaching sits within their position and developing self, developing others, and those sort of things. So I think here at Churchlands, things are only going to get better. The big numbers don't really scare us. I think we grew 1,000 students in a matter of a few years, and because we put time and energy into our planning, I think we're going to do very well. And I think things are only going to get better for us. So, I don't think there's going to be any problems. And I think it is sustainable the way that we do things and the way that we utilise and train and work with our people.
What an enthusiast and what a champion for this model, and how inspiring it is to hear of what a difference it's making. Kate Grayson, thank you so much indeed for your time. It's been great talking.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to the Growth Coaching International Case Study Podcast Series. I'm Lee Hatcher. This is just one of a range of inspiring stories in this series. They are at www.growthcoaching.com.au.